Good morning. It is so good to be with you on a morning like today, a special one. Love this story from God coming to someone in a Da Vinci painting to this day. Bless you, Ben. That's awesome. Thank you for sharing. And today, we're invited to come around this table. This is the table of tables. For us, the table over the last 5 years in Mexico has become the center of our home. Many stories were told at that table, and we have many stories to share about that table. And a number of you, Ruthann, Murray, Michelle, Keith, you've been at this table, and we've been blessed by you. And we just want to thank you for the opportunity to spend time around yours, because so much good happens around the table. This is just grainy photograph of the goodness of the many hours we spent with many wonderful people, seeing lives change, people being set free. If I had one desire, a selfish desire for us today, it would be that not only would we taste and see that the Lord is good, but feast on Him to the point where it's almost like a post-Christmas dinner. You're just feeling it. And you're so full, you say, I've just about had enough. But for our souls, may that be true. That was the prayer prayed over you this morning, that God, would you fill us as a church? And so we get to come to the table. Perhaps you would feast through the time we had singing and praising, maybe a hug from someone, a conversation in the foyer, or maybe it's by eating of the bread and drinking from the cup that God fills us. Now, this speaking on stage is not a muscle that Angela and I have really fully developed yet. It's kind of like when I've gone for a 10K run, having not run for maybe months. You get that moment where you just hit the wall. You experience that ever? That was a bit of our week, a little bit. We experienced a bit of a wall where we began to, you know, ask the questions of why do we do this? Why does the Alliance Canada send people? Why do we give to the Jaffrey offering? Why do we go to Mexico? And it was in that moment, it was more than a moment, it was in that time that God gave us a very wonderful gift, because He reminded us of the Wilfredos, of the Carloses, of the Miriams, of the Riques, all these people who experienced healing and freedom and life change. And the common thread in this remembering was all these people sat around our table one time or another.
One of our favorite passages is 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 21. And over 16 years ago, when we first started this international journey, it really was one of the ones that went deeply into our hearts. And rather than it becoming one of those stories that gets old over time, I think it's actually gone deeper and deeper and deeper into our bones. And so it actually is what came to mind this week as we were wondering, God, what would you have us share? I think there's so many stories. We could share lots of things, but God, what do you have for us today? And so I'm just asking you to read with me from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 to 21. And we're going to share a little bit of our why and what compels us. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ's love compels us. Paul was sharing here that what he had experienced through understanding and receiving salvation through God's wonderful, amazing, indescribable love, was that he was willing then to take that message in whatever was necessary. I mean, he went through crazy things, and yet he was so compelled by his love. He said, some people might think I'm a little crazy, but if they think I'm crazy, it's actually for God's glory. And I think that's kind of, we resonate with that. Because sometimes when we think about what we're doing, it can feel a little crazy. But his love is like, as it kind of grows deeper and deeper and deeper, and as we experience more and more of the transformation that his love has brought into our lives, it actually feels almost like that force that we can't resist, that we want to share. So this message, too, is like good news. It's the gospel we've been talking about here, even through Mark, that Jesus came to give his life and to for our salvation of sin. And so he says this, from now on we no longer regard the world from we regard no one from a worldly point of view. And I think that's what's so amazing, is that actually it shifts everything. We talk about with Lucia how we get to see with heaven eyes. It actually gives us a new lens. And one of the, a quote that I wanted to share today from Henry Nouwen, I love how he talks about this change. He said, to be chosen as beloved of God is something radically different. Instead of excluding others, it includes others. Instead of rejecting others as less valuable, it accepts others in their own uniqueness. It is not competitive, but a compassionate choice. When we claim and constantly reclaim the truth of being chosen ones, we soon discover within ourselves a deep desire to reveal to others their own chosenness. Instead of making us feel that we are better, more precious, or valuable than others, our awareness of being chosen opens our eyes to the chosenness of others. So I have experienced this to be true in my life. And while it can be simple to say, it's not always easy. I think it's amazing how often my eyes can just drift a little bit off of Jesus, and I can be compelled by what I think success is or what others expect of me. I can actually be compelled by my insecurities or fear, but it's his love just is that force that continues to draw us in as we realize what he's given us through the forgiveness of sins. And then Paul takes it a bit further when he talks about reconciliation, that it's not just forgiveness of sins, but what Jesus did when he died for us is that he brought us into full friendship with God. And I think getting to live deeper and deeper in friendship with God, growing in awareness of God, has helped shift what I do and how I live and even how I can just be in my days, that awareness. And I think we're not always able to remember that on our own, and I think that's why gathering like this on a Sunday is so important, why gathering in small groups is important, just that we're reminding one another, like the table, we're being reminded God's love, his salvation, that freed us from sins and has given us friendship with God, that there's so much more to be had. So I just want to say this for all of us. Our context will be different, but we get to participate together. And as we welcome in Jesus' name and pull up more chairs to the table, and as we're invited to go, we join in by praying and giving and encouraging others to get involved in what God is doing too. We all have an invitation from God and how we get to participate as messengers, ministers, as people that are forgiven, and friends of God.
So I want to tell you how the Alliance participates in this around the world. Here in Canada, the Alliance Canada is a group of over 400 churches that pray this prayer together. We want with all our hearts God, we long for him to transform us to be Christ-centered, mission empowered and our spirit empowered and mission focused people, multiplying disciples everywhere. We want to make Jesus famous. We're responding to the Matthew 28 Great Commission call to make disciples of all nations. We're anticipating a Revelation 7 reality where multitudes gather around the throne, people from every nation, tribe, and tongue crying out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And we ache knowing from 1 Timothy 2 that God wants everyone, all people, to know him. But there are more than three people in our world that have never had sufficient access to the gospel to hear about Jesus in any meaningful way. And we have the opportunity to do something about that. I love the Jaffrey Project and the video shown today. We saw that over 1.8 million, a billion people in South Asia and the Arabian Peninsula haven't heard of Jesus yet. And to me, that's an astronomical number. I can't get my brain around this. I tried this. Maybe it'll work for you. If we were to fill Prospera Place, you know, even the floor level with these people, we would have to do that over 230,000 times. If we were to fill that place, Prospera Place, five times a day, people coming in and out, we would be doing that for 125 years. I just, the numbers are staggering. And I just want to take a moment to tell you what the Alliance Canada, is doing. We have over 150 international workers, workers like Angela and ourselves, Travis and Aaron. We're engaging with more than 60 least reached people groups around the world. We have international workers in over 33 different countries. We have international workers in over 16 closed access countries. These are countries where there is antagonism, where it's really prohibited to evangelize, to tell people about Jesus. But this number, the 16, is increasing. A striking reality for the global missions movement is that countries with the most Christians receive the largest number of missionaries. And this is an imbalance that the Alliance wants to address, that we want to see that the countries with the fewest Christians receive the most missionaries. We're working towards this, and that's why we're seeing this number increase. And so as we seek to make Jesus famous in these hard and dark places, we employ, our IWs, our international workers, employ three main strategies. We're involved in church and development. This is growing and strengthening, reproducing faith communities among those with little or no access to Jesus. We are in relief and development, where we participate in God's mission of holistic transformation, proclaiming and demonstrating the gospel as we walk with the vulnerable, with the poor. And we address short-term crisis, we respond, and we address long-term needs. In the marketplace, we engage people like you, people with your vocational skills, to be ambassadors of Christ in cross-cultural contexts. These ambassadors receive care and community and coaching from Alliance teams around the world. They're part of the team. And our Mexico team is fully engaged with the church development strategy. There are 14 of us working among nationals and less reached people groups, working with national church leadership, with Mandarin-speaking Chinese diaspora in Mexico City. And we are an Envision site, a place where you guys have experienced. Some of you came and joined us on an Envision trip in Mexico, where we host interns and apprentices, and you'll hear a little bit about that in a little bit. Angela and I personally work alongside an international church in Mexico City. We've hosted for years a Thursday evening group in our home, and it's not uncommon for us to have more than 10 different nations represented around our table each week. And we want to see the Mexican Alliance Church and younger generations mobilized to participate as ambassadors in bringing the good news of Jesus, this good message of reconciliation to those who have not yet heard. We're seeing momentum grow. And your support and your prayers have made all the difference. It's your prayers and support that have and led you to engage with the people of Mexico that has seen breakthrough. Ezra's going to tell a bit about that.
Yeah, so the Mexico Alliance Church is a sending church, and at the same time, it's learning how to be a sending church. So for years now, they have been planting churches and reaching into communities in Mexico where there are no known followers. Often in these difficult-to-reach communities, people who choose to follow Jesus experience intense persecution, and it is not uncommon for them to lose their families and their land and are expelled from their community. And the Mexican church has continued to reach in and to surround these people who have lost everything to follow Jesus, and so new faith communities have been growing up. Just last Sunday in northern Mexico, a church commissioned another family to go 12 hours south into Durango to really intentionally reach into a community that has four different ethnic groups. And so they are actually continue to be growing. And another cool story we thought you would like to hear, for those of you who remember Mario Mello, our 78-year-old friend there, he just is starting to plant a new church. I think he learned to play spike ball with a few of you guys while you were with us. But I just, to see his heart and his passion to continue to see more and more people know Jesus and live a life transformed is really inspiring for us. So these are really exciting days. So the shift we are seeing now, really, is that the church is not just looking into Mexico, but looking beyond Mexico. We have one church that is just over 10 years old that have two of our Chinese workers attending, and they asked these ladies if they would be willing to teach them about the Chinese Mandarin professionals that make Mexico City their home. And these people come for maybe a year to 3 years on work contracts, and it's been so amazing. They've been learning some Mandarin phrases. They've been having cooking lessons, but they've more than that has been inviting these people into friendship to hang out with them, just to be their friend and help them in their life in Mexico City. And this week, our team is actually throwing a Lunar New Year's party, and they're just hoping that more people will gain a heart, be compelled with love, and be welcoming to these people, to share the love of Jesus with them. So you may wonder, there's these good things happening. Why are we still in Mexico? And that, I think, is a really important question. As we hear numbers of like 1.8 billion in just one area of the world and know that there's more that don't know Jesus, I don't even think we can really fully comprehend that in the way in which we live now, when most of us, like, we're here now, but it's hard to imagine not even, like, walking on the street and not even finding one person that knows Jesus. But we really believe that this is a special thing for the church in Mexico, and that we need the whole church. We need the Canadian church, the Mexican church, the whole church and the whole world to be able to do what we desire to do for people to know about Jesus, have an opportunity to choose to follow Jesus. And so this is the heart of our work in Mexico, and that is mobilization. And we are thrilled to see how God has been weaving the story to see this all happen long before we even knew.
So it was 2 years ago, just about to the day today, that I was in this Zoom call with these seven people. I'm going to tell you about all of them. There's a lot of story here, so you kind of got to hold on. But this is pretty cool. Top left here, do I have a laser? Wow, look at that. Carla and Luis Hurtado. This is a couple that has been serving over 10 years living among the Xiui people in the mountains of San Luis Potosí in Mexico. He is a medical doctor, and he's been serving, giving medical care to these people for over 10 years. And they've been teaching this primarily auditorial people group the stories from Scripture and how to change, or teach them as well. And this community has been changed. But prior to this, 15 years ago, we can't understand it, he doesn't, but he began to have a heart for the Turkish people in Turkey, and he was always wondering, what God do you have for me for these Turkish people? This, in the middle, top middle, is Arturo. He is the missions director of the Alliance Church in Mexico, and he and I, just before this call, found ourselves in Colombia at meetings for Alliance, a Latin American Alliance leadership. Many mobilization conversations were happening, and in one of those, we heard that the greatest opportunity presenting itself today to reach the Turkish people was to go to Germany and reach the Turkic people there. And so Luis, being a really smart guy with crazy hobbies, began learning German about 6 years ago for fun. Like, I don't know who does that, but Luis does that. And so when we heard Germany could be the place to reach the Turks, they got excited. And our team got excited. And our team put Carla and Luis and Arturo into contact with Ralph Shretzky. Some of you might know Ralph Shretzky. He and his wife Ruth, longtime missionaries in Germany with the Alliance. And as they were retiring, God changed his heart, not just for the Germans, but for the Turkish people. And he, Ralph, put Luis and Carla and Arturo in contact with Florian. Now, Florian is a German living in Germany running Global Nomads, a ministry that reaches immigrants and the Turkic people there. And so connections were being made, and we wanted to explore the possibilities. The Mexico church wanted to explore the possibilities, and so we arranged this call. Now, on this call is Kurt Peters. Maybe some of you know Kurt Peters. He is an area director for Europe. He's our colleague, and he represents that region there. So it just made sense to have him on the call. But what was like super exciting for me, I'm just a witness at this point. The call happens, people join, and Arturo recognizes Kurt. Kurt's dad, David Peters, was Arturo's mentor and pastor years ago. And I'm witnessing longtime faithfulness bearing fruit right here. The connections began years ago. I don't know how many years, maybe 25. And God is pulling these people together into a conversation about what can we do about reaching the Turkish people in Germany. Well, the Mexican church mobilized to get Luis and Carla there. This was our fridge. This was their prayer card. And then we actually traveled to Germany. We're not a Zoom call, but actually in person, we were able to meet and plan and dream, and God just reignited their hope and desire for Turks to come to know Jesus. And we're excited to say that in June, the Hurtado family are the first Alliance Mexico missionaries to ever be sent outside of Mexico. And it's with a partnership with the Alliance Canada. And you're part of that too. And it's not stress-free, and it's not trouble-free. And there's great challenges, but there's great rewards because they're freezing. Because this is Germany in winter. This was their Christmas photo, and they're just trying to adapt like us Canadians do. But they're already heavily engaged with the immigrants and Turkic people in Germany. Yeah.
So what Chris didn't say is that Ralph and Ruth had started a prayer group actually over 3 years ago for the Turkish people. And so it was just really cool to see how they had been gathering up a small group of people to start praying that God would move in as a wave, a tidal wave, into reaching the Turkish people in Germany. And just over 2 years ago in July of 2022, the Hirst family joined our team as apprentices in Mexico. They had already spent about 2 years in preparation and raising support to become apprentices in Mexico. And so they arrived with their three kids to further discern their call into international work, to learn cross-culturally, and to learn language. So they joined the Ministry of Union International Church in Mexico City. And they also fully participated on our team. We really love these guys, and I always smile when I see them. Una is a special friend to Lucia. However, just before the Hearst landed in Mexico, it became clear through a shift of strategy and even our timeline as a team in Mexico that we wouldn't be able to invite the Hearst to stay long-term in Mexico after their apprenticeship. And this was really discouraging. They had chosen, felt really the move of God, and they thought Mexico was the place that God was leading them into long-term international work. But as we talked and prayed together and just gave God our disappointment, we all had a real sense that actually Mexico was a really important part of the journey. And we just really would have had no idea how to even dream up what was to come next. And during a team meeting about a year into their apprenticeship, We were praying for the German family going to Germany, now you know as the Hurtados. And one of our teammates said, wouldn't it be amazing, just really lightly, wouldn't it be amazing if one of our team members could go to Germany and work with the Hurtados in reaching the Turks there? And it was not meant as anything at all, except that God used that, and it went right into Shay's heart. She resonated so deeply that she shared it with Joel when they got home that day, and they soon shared with us that they were really feeling like God was stirring their hearts to, from Mexico, go to Germany to work and get to know these Turks and share the love of Jesus with them. So we talked to our leadership. We were able to then have Ralph and Ruth enter into the Hearst story at this point, and they were able to go in this past February on a vision trip to see, and they were able to meet with a church that actually God had also been growing in their hearts, that they wanted that to be their outreach. So Joel and Shay actually arrived in Germany in August, have become a part of this church, and they're adapting to language and learning. But one of the cool connections was because Hearst and the Hurtados were in Mexico at the same time, they were able to spend time together. Their hearts were able to connect. Just like those miraculous things. And I think the other part of it is that as we have been able to send the Hearst to Germany, and the Mexican church has been able to send the Hurtados to Germany, there's been a deep connection that we are all praying into this kingdom work together. So even where we couldn't have even imagined how God would start weaving the story together, he has been joining our hearts, not just as individuals, but as churches, as countries, really, for this people group that is so precious to God that he would have been putting these things in place way beyond probably what we even know still to this day.
And what's special for us is that all of these people, aside from Florian in Germany and Ralph, they've all spent many hours around our table laughing, playing games, crying, weeping, blessing, commissioning. And it takes a whole table, folks, to send, to see God move, to respond together as community. And we're invited to join in what he's doing. You have very much a part in that story, in the growing story of the Hurtados, the Hearst, our story, the Wilkins story. I moved. And now we get to move to the table. Long time faithfulness bearing fruit. And now we come here. This morning, we're invited to the table of tables. And I invite the servers to go now to their stations.